women human rights defenders have to navigate their way in between patriarchal norms, traditional gender roles, sexual and gender-based violence, and hate speech while fighting for human rights. In other words, fighting for human rights as a woman is risky business. Welcome to The Three Women, a campaign by Defend Defenders and African Defenders about women human rights defenders in Africa in relation to 16 days of activism. Episode 2, The Story of Ayatunde.
"Hey, watch out," a boy yelled as he maneuvered his bike to avoid hitting the woman standing on the sidewalk. She had just come out of the office of the mayor to seek his help in ending the increased level of attacks against the LGBTQ plus community. She started following what sounded like protest chants, and a group of women marching on the road appeared before her. "Come on," one of the women yelled at her, beckoning her to join them. "Today is the day to be heard." The woman's words acted like a magnet, and Ayatunde found herself reaching out for one of the signs, joining the women. "My name is Martha. What's your name?" the woman who had called out to her asked. "Ayatunde," she answered. "Nice to meet you," she said, then marched to the front of the line, chanting a slogan. Ayatunde smiled to herself. She admired the woman's enthusiasm. For the first time in a long time, she felt optimistic. It felt like coming home. She quietly chuckled at this thought, given that she had just met these women. Maybe it was the solidarity that they seemed to have, despite their differences. People around her had not been kind since the information about her sexuality had become known. Her parents had had a hard time in particular. They blamed it on Western influence, which the village had warned her against when she insisted on going to university to study human rights law. "I knew that university would be a bad idea," her mother had said, sobbing uncontrollably, when she had finally dared to tell them that she liked women. Her father had simply held his head down in shame and disappointment. He had not been able to look her in the eyes ever since. Things had gotten worse since she started being vocal in the community about the mistreatment of young people who were suspected to have this so-called disease. The village had blamed her, claiming that she was trying to spread it to other people. Her parents had kicked her out because they felt that she was bringing them shame. "Just give them time," her grandmother had said when she showed up in the middle of the night at her house to find refuge. The situation escalated when the local high school expelled some students, claiming that they were promoting and engaging in unnatural acts. Ayatunde had taken the matter to court. Sexual orientation had nothing to do with one's education. The village elders were incensed by her actions, especially when she was not fazed by their veiled threats. They decided to meet her parents in secret to discuss ways to cure her. It was decided that she was going to be married off. They figured that by forcing her to marry, she would overcome the disease. When her parents got wind of her planned escape from the village, they called the police on her. After a few nights in a dirty police cell, they eventually let her go. But she had understood that there was no place for her in the village. Ayatunde thought that things were bound to improve in town. After all, the LGBTQ community was larger there, and many of them were fighting for their rights. However, last week, whilst walking home from dinner with a friend, a group of men attacked her, threatening to show her a good time and what she was missing. Her friends had warned her that the police would not help, but she reported the incident anyway. Her friends were right. The police told her that if they were to take the report, she would also have to be arrested, since the way that she was living was against the law. A couple of days after that, The local newspaper had published a list of people suspected to have an affiliation with the LGBTQ community, with their photos, phone numbers, and addresses. Consequently, the attacks against the LGBTQ community increased. Although Ayatunde was not part of that list, she felt that she had to speak up and try to get the local paper to recall that addition. A lot of people, her friends, were in danger, and she needed to help them. Before taking the matter to court, she decided to try and seek support from the town's mayor, Mr. Tapiwa. "He's not in," Tapiwa's assistant said when she walked into the office with the newspaper in hand. "I can hear his voice," Ayatunde said, with a twinge of annoyance in hers. The assistant looked up from her computer, staring at her straight in her eyes. "Look, he knows who you are and what you are. He does not have time for you," she said bluntly. Ayatunde sighed deeply and walked out, passing a woman walking in. She was wearing a beautiful indigenous cloth around one of her shoulders.